This is the Plant Yourself Podcast. I'm Howard Jacobson of PlantYourself.com, WellStart Health, Sick to Fit, WellStart Coaching Academy, and oh, so much more. This podcast is part of my mission to help you live a moving and mindful life. So one of the things you should know about me is that I discover really great, cool stuff early, get a tremendous amount of benefit from it, and then totally forget about it for decades. So one example of this was when I first went plant-based in 1990 upon reading Diet for a New America by John Robbins. And then like 6 years later, I couldn't even remember that I had read it or that there was anything wrong with dairy. And I had to experience Colin Campbell's China study to remind me of what I had known once and what had given me such great results, and which I just sort of abandoned. And then there was the time that I came home and I'd read something and I got rid of all of our Teflon pans. And then like 2 years later, this thing comes in the mail from Amazon that I ordered, and it's a Teflon skillet. And my wife is like, wait a minute, we had one of these. Don't you remember? Like, no, is there anything wrong with Teflon? So another example of this involves today's guests, and they are Catherine and Danny Dreyer, and they are the founders, originators, the powerhouse couple behind Qi Running, and that's Qi like C-H-I, as in Tai Chi or Qigong, the Chinese term for our inherent life energy. I discovered Qi Running, I think it was around 2005, 2006, 2007 latest. I think 2005, 2006, because I was into natural movement. I had taken a course to become a certified natural trainer with John Hines of the Monkey Bar Gym. And he showed me my first pair of Vibram five-finger shoes, which I promptly went out and got in electric blue, which wasn't a great fashion idea, especially if you have size 12 feet. And we also talked about correct running form. And from there, I discovered Qi Running, which had been written by Danny Dreyer. And it was a way of running mindfully to kind of learn the technique to run without injury. And I read the book, practiced it, got home to Durham, North Carolina, took a lesson, and did that for a little while, and then totally forgot about it. And it wasn't a big deal because I wasn't doing much running in the intervening years until 2016 when I met Josh and started training for my first 50K. And man, I was, you know, getting back into running and feeling my legs again. But along with all of the miles I was putting on and the buckles I was getting from the races that I was entering, you know, I'm not as fast as I was when I was 18, and running didn't feel as good as it did back then. And I completely forgot that I had a methodology that had worked really well for me to help me be more efficient in my running, to help me be more mindful, to help me eliminate injury. And so it was only pretty recently that I think it was through Facebook that I saw the Qi Running stuff again. And I reached out to Danny and asked if I could interview him for the podcast. And since he lives in Asheville and I live in rural North Carolina, about 4 hours away, I said, why don't I come and interview you somewhere in person? And so we agreed and we met at his house, and he and his wife, Catherine, who is also a force behind Qi Running and I think does more of the business operations, but they're both, you know, qualified instructors and instructors of instructors and the co-creators of the Qi Running platform and methodology. And we sat down at their dining room table and we talked about running. And man, I had a whole different perspective than I had when I first read the book. And the perspective comes from having run thousands of miles over the last 4 years with poor form and getting injured, getting plantar fasciitis, having knee problems, hip flexor problems, numb feet. And so I decided I was going to revisit Qi Running. Bought the Qi Running app from the Apple Store for $10 and have been running with it in my ear ever since. I've stopped doing podcasts. And I've stopped doing books on tape and music, and now I am just treating running like a meditation on form. and my times have improved. I haven't been feeling bad afterwards. I haven't been sort of re-irritating or re-injuring things. And so I am sold. I'm thinking about becoming a Qi running instructor so that I can help people who go to Sick to Fit University and Well Start Health and come to me for coaching. Because one of the things we tell people is you got to get moving. But if we have been sedentary for most of our lives, or we put on a lot of weight and changed our balance, then when we start moving and we do so with bad habits and poor form, we can get injured. And I'm sure you've heard that story plenty of times. So this podcast is a conversation about how not to get injured while walking or running. It's about how to be mindful of what we're doing while we're doing it, so we don't have to run 10 miles and feel bad afterwards. We don't have to eat some crap and feel bad afterwards. We can take a bite of the crap and feel bad right away and stop the binge in its tracks through mindfulness. So Catherine and Danny were wonderful hosts. Mia and I popped over for this conversation and had a great time and were really inspired. And so I can't say enough about what you're going to discover if you are a runner or a walker or a human with legs who wants to move more freely, gracefully, mindfully, lovingly through the world. So before we get to the conversation, I'm going to pitch a little product. So one thing I'm going to pitch, since I had a root canal last week and I need a crown next week, is some money to cover those operations. So I'd like to tell you quickly about my laser coaching. It's a one-year program and it is under $2,000. So that's a year of coaching. That's 12 months for under $2,000. And it's private one-on-one coaching with me over the phone, scheduled on unlimited sessions, scheduled by you. So kind of IKEA style. You go in after you've completed the homework for the last session and you schedule your next one. First call is 30 minutes. All the subsequent calls are 15. So it's not like you have to figure out how to fit this into a really busy schedule. I call it laser coaching for a reason. I'd like you to go to the page where I describe it all and give you the conditions so that you know what you're signing up for. And that's plantyourself.com/laser, LASER. The other two things I want to talk about are the Well Start Coach Training, which begins next month, November 2019, wellstartcoach.com, if you would like to become a kick-ass coach. And what else? The retreat in New Orleans with me and Josh will be happening the first weekend in March. I believe that's the 5th through the 8th. If you're interested in finding out more about that, check out Sick2Fit. That's number two, sick2fit.com/NOLA, all lowercase. All right, so let us get to walking and running. Without further ado, Catherine and Danny Dreyer, thank you for inviting us to your home and welcome to the Plant Yourself podcast.
Yeah.
Great to be here.
Yeah,
nice to have you here.
Yeah, so you guys have been a huge influence on me for like 14 years now.
Oh my god!
So it's really exciting to meet you guys in person and talk about walking and running. Let's start with just your backgrounds and stories for people who may not have heard of the Qi world of bipedal locomotion.
Yeah.
You go ahead.
Okay. So my background, I came from ultra running. So I was an ultra runner and for many years. And then at some point, I ran into a Tai Chi instructor.
And you were doing, this was like in the 80s or 90s?
Yeah, I started in the 70s.
So this was, you were weird.
I was weird. Right. I was in the lunatic fringe group back then.
So this was like really like skinny bearded guys with long hair.
Yeah.
So that's when those people were ultra running.
Yeah, it was back when like the JFK race had 300 people, you know.
Okay.
Now it's like a lottery.
What drew you to ultra running at that point?
Well, it was more, for me, I was studying with a teacher, a health, you know, he was totally into health, and he really used it as a way to challenge yourself to get healthy, but also mentally healthy. Mm-hmm. So ultra running is, you know, 90% mental. And so it was a really good opportunity to put all the people he was working with into a really outside their comfort zone.
So you were volunteered a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. But I liked it. It was good, and it got me running. I was a runner before then, but it really drew me. So anyway, so I started running ultras longer and longer distances. I eventually got up to, I ran 200 milers, Leadville and Western. Those are my bucket list. Now I'm a retired 100 miler. But somewhere along the way, you know, I would be 30 miles into a race and some guy would pass me like he just stepped on the course. I was watching people. Back then, I was really interested in how to move better because I was having to move further. And so when these people would pass me, I'd watch them.
Now, were they speeding up or were you slowing down?
Both. Okay. So it's like, and then at some point along the way, I was living in Boulder at the time, and a friend of mine said, hey, there's this guy that's teaching Tai Chi classes. And he knew I was half Chinese, so he thought I might be interested. So anyway, he introduced me. I went to the class, and from day one, it was about posture. And the day after that first day, I started putting it into my running, and all of a sudden, it was like, oh my God, I didn't go for a run. I'm going to have to, like, turn around and go back out so I can feel like I got a run.
I mean,
so
you were able to integrate it that quickly.
Yeah, because every time...
He was working on body issues already. Was already doing some of it. But then when the Tai Chi came in, it was a light bulb. Uh-huh. So the light bulb, I was there. And so we were studying. So he had been doing body work and all kinds of stuff.
What sorts?
Well, just like internally, working on things, body movement.
How do I get more efficient?
How to run, how to, you know, he'd been working on all kinds of stuff. And we would talk about it, but then when Tai Chi came in, it just opened up everything and changed everything for him. So any aches and pains he had had were disappearing. So he was bringing these principles, which are pretty cool. You know, there are these amazing principles that have been around for thousands of years. And, you know, I always like to say, if you watch movies today, everybody's using martial arts, right, to be the hottest bad guy or good guy. They all have to know martial arts, and that's because it is the most efficient way to move. And so when you bring those principles into running and walking and movement, he literally did have significant changes happen really fast.
In performance and endurance. And so the whole posture element, that's where it hooked me. Because my Tai Chi teacher was all about correct posture, and when you're doing your martial art, you're turning around this central axis, right? So everybody who had passed me in an ultra, I watched them, and they were all falling forward. Mm-hmm. So I had been playing with this thing of falling forward already, but I'm sure I was probably bending at the waist, and it was making me less efficient. But all of a sudden, I took this posture line, I go, oh, what if I take this line and move and hinge down here at my feet, and all of a sudden that's where results like the next day.
And then you're also learning to move from your center. So in Tai Chi, all movement comes from your dan, they call it your dantian, but it's your center basically, and everything else is supposed to relax. And so you learn deep relaxation. So deep relaxation is a part of going faster and moving more easily. And most people are doing just the opposite.
Stronger,
especially,
tighter.
Especially if they're new to fitness or whatever. They really think that the images that we get out there are that you are supposed to work hard. You're supposed to sweat. It's supposed to hurt, right? You
no
know,
pain,
you have
no
these
pain.
Images right. of, you know, oh, I'm going to tough it out. But in Tai Chi, it's completely different. In Tai Chi, you're supposed to make movement really smooth and easy, and it all comes from a very strong core and center. So all movement comes from that place, and it completely turns upside down normal fitness. And the Chinese, it's pretty cool. When you go to China or San Francisco, they're all on the street corners. Everywhere you go, they're doing a little Qigong, a little Tai Chi. They're just moving. They're really believers in movement for longevity and for health. And so when you incorporate that into running and walking, it really makes a huge difference for beginners, for people who are in pain, for people who have any kind of issues. It smooths it out. So so it's been 20 years. It's our 20-year anniversary this year.
Well, that we've been doing this.
Yeah.
And what's your backstory?
Well, I come from a background in marketing. So I worked in New York City. I worked at HBO and Time Inc. and so on. And then I moved to Boulder, Colorado, and I started working for a health publishing company. And I became president of it when I was 32.
Oh, can I ask which one?
It's called New Hope Communications.
Okay.
So they publish magazines and put on huge trade shows for the natural health industry.
Okay.
So I've been in natural health and healing since 1989. And so I ran this company, and we brought together health and healers from all over the world to our conferences. And we would use them in our magazines and so on.
And they also started guidelines for organics.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. It was way in the 80s, starting really government or, you know.
In the 80s and 90s. So I was working with, you know, all kinds of regulations and everything for natural health and organics and you name it. Vitamins, herbs, the whole shooting max. So that was, and then I met Danny, and anyway, he, at the time, was doing other work, and I think it was me who said, you should be doing this.
It was her.
And I got a job in California, so we moved to California because I got a job there and for a natural health website. And Danny started teaching people qi running, and people were having, like, it, very average people. There were women in their 45, 50 who wanted to lose weight. I mean, that was the first audience. Yeah.
So when did you decide or discover that qi running was a thing? Like
January of 1999.
January 1999.
Wow. We know exactly when.
I wasn't sure if my question was clear, but apparently it was.
That's when we started our first newsletter. I don't know if we incorporated then, but we definitely
incorporated a couple years later.
We decided to actually make a business out of it, and it's interesting. We always say that our daughter was also conceived in January of 1999. Mm-hmm. So we always say we've raised twins, and now they're 20-year-olds and out the door and out of our hands, you know. Mm-hmm. So
before that, would you just? Okay, so you discovered this thing, and I said, you know, all of a sudden running became much easier. And now, like, how did you, like, who was the first person you shared it with who wasn't, like, were you reticent or like, I want to shout this from the rooftops?
No, I think he began teaching people, we somehow got into an Oprah group of women. So it wasn't Oprah, but it was, she had all these groups, and they were all wanting to run marathons.
That was the name of it.
Oh, the Connectors. Okay. And so Danny he got hooked in with these people and started teaching them. And the results were pretty significant, really significant, to the point where, he started meeting people and teaching them. And teaching groups, so he was teaching at NASA, so he met all these people at NASA, and so he had all these scientists he was teaching,
and they would like back up what was going on in the book,
and they loved it. They loved the, like, Danny likes to bring physics into this, like the concept of physics, and they all were like, so it makes a lot of sense when you learn about what qi running is about. Like, there's a lot of sense to it. It makes a lot of sense, and so people, then tried it, and we're finding great results. Really
one
fast.
Place where we had really good results was team and training. Yeah. So in San Francisco, they had one of the biggest team and training groups in the United States.
What was that?
It was in, when was it? It was
team and training?
Oh, the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. Okay. They did fundraisers. They've done it since 1999.
They're the largest in the world for raising money through
raising
events.
Raising money for research, for cancer research. Mm-hmm. And so they had this huge group and they had like 900 people in this group in San Francisco. And I asked them if they would have me teach their technique class, because they were training people for a marathon. Mm-hmm. Well, team and training would train people in 4.5 months for a marathon from zero.
That's
and I'm
quick.
Going... is not quick at suicidal, you know. But when I started working with their groups, all of a sudden they started seeing that more people were actually completing their training. So every year they invited me back to keep their numbers up. And so that was like really
that
good
was a big
results.
And then we wrote a book, and then it went international very quickly. Mm-hmm. I mean, very quickly, because the book came out and we got really profound response to the book, and then it was published in 10 languages, and suddenly it was all over the world, and it was a lot to handle. But we set it up, like, I do have a business background, so I made sure we set it up in a way that we had instructors and a whole program, and that we could handle it.
So when you started teaching other people, so you both had a background in health and you were doing your body work stuff. Like, it came easier to you, I'm imagining. Like, okay, I do Tai Chi, and I understand how to apply it. What were the challenges you faced when taking people off of couches and desks to incorporate the principles?
The challenge was breaking it down into steps. And how do you... Because we're talking about neural training here. You know, what do you say? The work that you do to try to get somebody to change their diet, or when do you eat, or how do you get yourself not to eat? So we're doing brain training, really. Mm. And so we had to break it down in steps that were incremental. So if you go through one of our classes, it goes through very specific incremental steps that build on one another. So we had to start with... So we always started with posture. That's where I started with Tai Chi, and it's the best start. And then how do you move that posture? And then which parts of your body do you move, and how do you move them? So it was really getting the sequence and the lessons narrowed down to exactly how do you do it. And that was the challenge. And that challenge is still there.
And we still work on it.
We still work on it. We
all
still adapt it and change it. If something isn't working, we'll change it. And I can't tell you how many times I've rewritten the instructor's manual. Because something will come up and I'll go, oh my God, that is so much easier. Because our job is to get it into somebody's body as easily, as quickly as possible. And if I'm using too many words or not good examples, or they can't feel it. Yeah. So all of what we teach has to be learned through experience.
Well, that's one of the things I wanted to ask about, because, you know, I studied Alexander Technique,
right?
And one of the insights he gave is that people don't know what right is, and they think, I think I'm straight, right? This is right. How do you help people who, you know, in your books, or who buy DVDs? I guess people still buy DVDs or get it online.
DVDs.
Streaming now.
We have an online school, like, with videos.
So if you teach someone and then they go off and do it, how do you teach people to sort of propriocept or assess internally to know that they're doing the right thing and not some other thing.
You know, it's a huge part of what we teach in the classes. Yeah. So from the very beginning, we talk about body sensing, and we talk to people about how difficult that is, and we come up with a variety of ways for them to work on it. So in the instruction is what to feel for. So it's really cool. In a class, we're giving them an experience, an experience, an experience, so that they can... The point of the class is to begin to feel that difference, so that you can then go home and say, oh, this difference is, I'm not feeling that. Mm-hmm. And people who are doing it through video and so forth, I would say, you know, a lot of them can get it. I mean, we've had people email us from just a few lines in an article and say, oh my gosh, this has changed my running. Uh-huh. So there's a scope of people, and people who are a little bit more challenged to people who can do it really, really readily. And so we have a variety of ways. We have instructors for people who really need additional help. We have videos for people who can get it more themselves. We have audio downloads for people, so that helps a lot.
Oh, so people can listen while
they're moving.
So it's really right there with you.
Ooh, I need to get that.
And yeah, it's really good. The school, we can get into that later, but I wanted to say something we were just talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
Because we're doing a Qi walking instructor training. And what we want the teachers to do is to be able to take the people as... take a student through comparison. So you're asking,
exactly,
how do you tell if you're doing it right? Well, first of all, you got to know what it feels like when you're doing it wrong,
mm-hmm,
and or are not doing it as well as it could be. And then you need to know how it feels when you're doing it right. And so then we take the students, switch back and forth. And I mean, I will have people do it 10 times on just one piece of posture.
So
here's how you feel normally. Let's make the adjustment. Let's go back. Here's how you feel normally. Here's the adjustment.
Yeah.
And then they can start catching themselves. The trick is to get people to catch themselves when they're not doing it, so they know how that feels. That becomes,
well, you're circumventing the conscious mind,
right?
Yes.
Right. You're
getting
going right
the
for
body.
The body. That,
right for the body.
The body goes, oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, this feels good.
And when we were writing the book, as a matter of fact, a friend of ours said, "Give people an experience as much as possible in the book." So the book tries to do that. We're trying to do that in everything we do.
Yeah,
is to give people an experience, so that they can go, aha, ah. And the thing is, it's so cool, is how in a class, people will come, the walking people especially, will come with some pain, and we can get them out of pain in the class. Not all pain, but we can move them into a place where they're not hurting as much, and they go, now it can be challenging for them to bring that on into their lives, and they might need ongoing support, but they can have that experience. We just taught a walking class, and this woman had shin splints, and we could get her walking pretty easily without her shin splints hurting.
Same day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So talk a little bit about maybe going back to fundamentals. Why is walking and running important for human beings? Like, you guys have devoted your life to it.
I would say it's not only why it's important, because those are the obvious ones of like, yeah, it helps your cardio, it helps you burn calories, it helps you stay toned, all that stuff. But it's more, not only why is it important, but how can you do it in a way that makes it even more important?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what we teach people is how you can walk, or you can walk with your core engaged. You could walk with stiffness or tension in your body, or you could learn to walk in a way that really releases that while you're moving. And so it's really taking both of those two really basic fundamental activities, human activities, and upping the ante a little bit. So we all walk and a lot of people run. How can you do that in a way that really actually adds to your health and doesn't destroy you, or doesn't, like, you know, do something you don't expect, or anything? How can you make walking a really cool thing instead of just getting from here to there?
But on the other hand, not enough people are walking and running.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that is a huge call for us, is to get people moving. And why? Because you don't use it, you lose it, and you die. I mean, our Tai Chi master says when you lose your legs, you're a lot closer to losing your life. And there's a new poll study I'd love to send to you about gait being the newest way to assess...
Vital sign.
Your vital sign. Walking speed.
Gait
or your
speed
gait
as
speed
a vital sign.
As a vital sign. And they have predictors of how fast people can move walking. And if they don't... If they walk too slowly, the doctor said, the Grim Reaper walks at 2 miles per hour.
Yeah.
So if you're only walking at 2 miles per hour, the Grim Reaper's going to catch up with you.
Yeah,
and
that's
so,
not exercise.
So when you can teach people to move with longevity, so longevity is a huge thing in Chinese health and medicine,
big.
And it's a huge thing for us.
Right.
It's not just length of life, it's quality of life and length of life. It's improving the whole quality of your life. So the walking and running really can do that. With running, the potential is that there's injury. So we have, I'm not going to say we've eliminated injury, but we have greatly reduced the potential for injury. And the same is true with walking. Like, people think walking is easy, but if you're really overweight or if you're in pain, walking isn't easy. And we can make it easier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many ironies here. One is that the thing that helps you increase your speed is Tai Chi. which in my mind
is slow.
You know,
it's only practiced slowly.
Yeah.
But when it's an actual movement, it's really fast.
I've never seen that.
Oh,
well, so
yeah.
So that's a really interesting thing that people don't realize about Tai Chi, and it's called the mother of martial arts because underneath it all, it gives you the formula for how to be a kung fu fighter if you want. Mm. But it is the reason why it's practiced slowly is that for proprioception. It's for where's my balance at? Where am I moving from? Am I relaxed here, 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 here? You know, I mean, it's this whole integration of all of your movement with your mind, moving your body moving your arms, and it's or your dantian, and it's people don't understand that's when you move slowly is the only way you can feel if you're really on target, you know. So you ask, you know, how do people feel if they're doing it right? Yeah, if you're not doing it right, it's gonna show up, and because your opponent's gonna see it, and he's gonna like.
I never put that together. And there's a book, The Talent Code, by Daniel Coyle, who talks about like the Berkeley, I think it was Berkeley, some school of music, some string school, where they practice so slowly that a person walking by doesn't know what piece it is.
Right.
Exactly. And so, I mean, it's hard to get runners to do that. But one of our goals is to first get people to slow down enough so that they can experience how they're actually moving.
Yeah.
And then add speed. So we're all about speed in running and walking too, because it's fitness walking. Mm-hmm. So we're all about that. And it really happens, but it happens from a deeper, better place when you know the fundamentals of how to move well.
Yeah, combination of alignment and relaxation is what we teach.
You
know, so I'll give you an example. Okay. You know, in Tai Chi, there's a move, you know, where somebody moves their hand like this, and then you show this really nice flow, so they end up in a position like this. Mm-hmm. So if you're throwing a punch at me, I grab your hand, and I break your neck, you know? And
that's
then really,
what it
that's
is.
So slowly done. Uh-huh. But when you speed it up, it's like... And you're all of a sudden you're on the ground, but you know it's this whole thing of like starting. So if you ever saw the movie Amadeus, the guy he's learning this Bach piece or something like that, really fast fugue or something, and his instructor has this metronome just, and he's playing note by note every day. The instructor comes up and slides that little weight down a little bit, and it goes fast. So within a month or 6 weeks, the guy's like cranking along, and he hardly noticed the difference day by day. So it's gradual progress is a big.
But speed's coming from someplace different than most people are doing it. Most people are doing it with effort, and we're doing it from a completely different place of deep core strength and relaxation.
Yeah.
And that's how you get faster.
Yeah.
See, there's this, I have this really mixed relationship with effort. Because on the one hand, I'm talking to people who've kind of given, you know, they've almost given up. And they don't realize that they can take their health into their own hands. And they've been passive and they're on meds. And everything has been, someone else gives it to you. So to tell them, like, you can take some effort, like, sort of raises in them some pride.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when you take this idea of effort and efforting.
Yeah.
That we think, okay, so I'm taking this effort, so I'm going to grind. I'm gonna run till it hurts. I'm gonna wear my aches and pains and plantar fasciitis and shin splints as a badge of pride.
Yeah,
and you're saying that's not necessary.
The effort is in making your mind and body work as a team, and that most people do the effort just in the body, build strong muscles, plyometrics, you know, all of that stuff. But the effort comes from using your mind correctly, correct. You know?
And when you're a beginner, you're going to go out there and it's still going to be some effort. So the book says effortless, but that's a goal. And the thing is that so in the beginning, you're going to feel it. You're going to go out and run and your breath is, you're going to need to work your breath and you're going to need to build up. It's just that you're going to do it in a way now through Qi running, if you do it that way, that doesn't give you all these stops of injury. So injury is the big thing in running. It's 65% of runners every year get an injury that stops them from running. And so we don't want people to have to stop.
It's a big number.
It's
2/3. 2 out of every 3 people.
And I read in your book that it's worse for marathoners.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 65
distance,
to 90.
Distance adds huge thing. So the effort is this. So you effort, and then you get hurt and you stop. Well, that is what slows down your progress more than anything. So we want people to be able to continue on with their progress without the stoppage of injury. That's our primary thing is injury prevention and energy efficiency.
Yeah, and the energy efficiency comes in as a response to, this is so hard, you know. But if you get people, start with just having your body aligned, it's already easier to move. And then we also have, so one of the principles in our book is gradual progress. I just mentioned it. So gradual progress means you don't really go that far beyond what your body currently is capable of doing. You just stretch it a little bit. You don't go out and, I'm going to lose weight, so I'm going to do a 10K this week. You know, no, it's what's your body capable of? Scoonch it just a little past that.
So
that enough to where that scoonch just gets incrementally a little...
See, but my ego is revolting against that.
Of course.
My ego wants to put up numbers on Strava. I want to get lots of kudos.
Yeah. Well, you will get those because when you do it correctly, you can move faster and easier. So if you're trying to do it without some help and you're doing it, I'll just say, biomechanically, not optimally, then you're not going to go as fast or as far. But with a little bit of help, you're going to go faster and further, way faster and way easier. So there, you will get those kudos. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like people get those kudos all the time from our class. Like, literally after a class, we'll get, oh my gosh, I just beat my best ever marathon time. I mean, we have thousands upon thousands of those testimonials.
Mm. Yeah, but it's like, people understand that they shouldn't eat the junk food. But in the moment, the junk food tastes good. And in the moment for an athlete or for a runner, like pushing it feels like, look at me.
Yeah.
And so there's this idea that if you're if you're in your body, your mind and body are together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're kind of overriding this the cultural programming of the fitness industry.
Yeah.
You know, when you get good at it though, just a little bit of help, you will get that feeling. I think that's why Qi running has been successful is because people not only have the experience of being able to go a little faster or further than they thought they could, but they feel good. And so there is that sense of, whoa, when you come home and you feel good and you feel like you could do something else for the rest of your day, then there is a pride in that. Mm. Like, wow, my body is strong. My body is healthy.
Yeah.
Like when we're teaching the class, we teach certain things and people will go, I didn't recognize that. Wow, do I feel good right now? That feels good. So I think that goodness overrides has the potential to. It is something that we work on all the time, is taking some really strong type A people and toning them down. And I would say many of our instructors, for instance, used to say, all I cared about was how fast I went, and now I care about what it feels like.
Mm.
And and I think they're happier for it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have this story of a guy who was like some colonel in the special forces or something. He came to us because he retired from the military, but he got into a paramilitary group in Costa Rica busting up cocaine labs.
Colombia.
Busting up cocaine up. So he had this crew that he was in charge of. There were all these guys that were scrambling straight up mountains and stuff. He somehow got a hold of our book. And he said, oh my God, I can climb mountains. And it's like so easy. And I'm teaching my guys. And they can do that. And so he was this pretty hardcore military guy, like macho. And, I love doing this. Over the years, he kept writing us more letters and saying, you know what? It's not about the muscles, is it? You know, it's about how are you aligned? How do you move? And he says he was enjoying his job more and more. Finally, he wrote us a letter saying, I took my first Tai Chi class. And now he's teaching. And he switched a guy that went from power is better to a guy who really believes in the proper motion and all that is more powerful.
But the way it happened was as he read chapter 4 of the book,
yeah,
and which tells you how to do it, and he went out for a run. So this was the first email. So we sent it to me, and the first email was, "I just beat my fastest time I've ever run." And he was shocked. He read the book. So he was one of those people that could get it quickly. Uh-huh. So he read the book, he went out for a run, and he said, "I thought," and we have this, people say this a lot, "I thought my watch broke because I went so much faster than I have ever done before." And that was from reading the book and the next day going on a run. So that's when we first became in correspondence with him. He was like, "What happened?" Mm. And so people can have that experience so quickly sometimes, where they, the shift happens. Yeah.
I'm imagining, and you know, from my own chi experience, is that there is something about it that is a little bit damaging to the ego, in that it doesn't feel like it's you do. You know, it's like you're aligned with forces much bigger than yourself. Mm. There is, like, when you sort of, yeah, like, I can't tell you how many times I've forgotten this and then remembered it. I'm on a hard run. I'm feeling terrible. It's, you know, it's, mm-hmm, Chapel Hill, 104 degrees in the summer, and I'm going up some hill. There's not a shade in sight. And then I remember, oh, like, look at that tree and let it pull me.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, like, well, it's not just me now. The tree's helping. Like, do you find, and do people find that it becomes sort of a spiritual experience as well?
Yeah, it's called an altered ego. You know, you hear this term, alter ego. It's an altered ego.
I love that.
Because, you know, when we start talking about what we teach is quality of life, what Catherine was saying, somebody really starts seeing that their quality of life improves, all of a sudden their mind changes about what's important to me. And so then they start saying, well, it's not as important how fast I go, because I'm, like, really happy with how I am now as a person. Mm. So it's this altered ego. You know?
So a lot of people have come to a deeper understanding of, yeah, a different perspective on life through qi running and qi walking. I will say that. We have people, a lot of the letters we get say, "This changed my life," because they begin to do so many things differently. They'll talk about how they approach their computer differently, how they approach their work differently, how, I mean, we've had people come and say, "We want to do qi singing, qi photography, qi golf, qi everything," uh-huh, because they've brought it into other areas and it's been successful for them.
Yeah, because the principles are transferable. That's just Tai Chi, and that's the start. And then you can put it into whatever you want.
Yeah, everything. It's cool.
That's what's cool about it.
So there's basically two groups of people who benefit. There's the group who have not been walking or running,
yeah,
either because they just haven't, or they try every 4 years and get injured and quit.
Right.
And then there's the group that is already out there walking, running, nursing injuries, mm-hmm, constantly. For that second group, how does qi running tend to change their lives? Like, they're already running.
Well, the Chinese principle, go to the cause of any problem. If you go to an acupuncture, they're not going to say, "Well, I've got something you should wear." They will go, "So what have you been doing that creates this thing in your body?" Mm-hmm. Go to the cause and you can get rid of the symptom. So when you go to somebody who has an injury, our whole thing is, so why are you doing this to yourself? What are you doing? And get them to body sense and really feel, oh, well, my alignment's off, or I'm overstriding, and I can feel that knee happen every time I land. So that gives them and incentivizes them to do something about it. So that's a part of body sensing, is sensing what you're doing, listening to your body all the time. What am I doing? And then having this background of information, that's where the mind-body, your mind comes in and says, so what's our response to this? And so we give them certain responses, and they tell their body, let's try this. And then they listen for their response from the body again. So did that help my knee or did it not? Let's try something different. Or it's better, is it worse? So we teach people how to be their own best practitioner, you know, how to feel it, how to fix it, what to do. And so it makes them responsible. So you're talking about making people responsible for their own health, be responsible for how you feel and get to the bottom. So what did you eat that gave you that stomach ache? Or mm-hmm. how fast did you eat it? Or what were you doing when you were eating it? Or,
yeah. See, well, with this dove is what I love is, so the big problem with getting people to be healthy is the thing they do right now feels good, right?
Yes.
I'm going to eat
right.
the thing. And the problem is 4 hours, 4 years, right. 4 decades yeah. from now. Yeah. What you're doing is you are shortening the feedback loop,
the response
yes.
to the point where if I'm paying attention right now, I love these, they taste so good. If I chew it slowly, it's like, oh, there's chemicals, it's too sweet, yeah. it's too salty, yeah. I don't, ugh. Right? And you're giving people the means and the practice to yeah. be in the moment to make those decisions.
Yeah
exactly. Yeah, and so for very beginners, it is just getting them out there, and then when you give them a little small thing that helps, it that travels through much of their future, you know, because then mm-hmm. there's this sense of, oh, there is more hope for me. There is more potential. I can do this. It's a real mm-hmm. feeling of I can, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I can do this. I think that's mm-hmm. what we offer to people more than anything.
And you're getting people in touch with an internal thing they can trust.
Yeah.
Right? So you're not saying, hey, we're the experts, pay attention
no,
to us.
Feel it. You're the one yeah. doing it. What does it feel like? Yeah. And then it gives them options. And so the people that go down a path one way and end up with cancer or all kinds of maladies or anything like that, back here somewhere you make a choice this way, all of a sudden this whole thing happens. If we can teach them how to really feel their body and make just a little tweak this way, all of a sudden that whole branch is no longer working. So when you say improve somebody's quality of life, that's what we're talking about, moment to moment. Interesting thing is that, you know, you talk about a spiritual practice, the whole thing behind being most spiritual practices is being in the moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess where's the only way you can be in the moment is when you are in your body, because the body doesn't live in the future, body doesn't live in the past, body's always just right here. So right. What's going on right now? What yeah. can right. I do about
well,
that?
Well, you know, when I'm in the moment, when my body hurts.
Sure. It's screaming at you. It's like, dude, listen up.
Right. You know, when everything's working fine, I'm like, you know, I've got my headphones in. I'm thinking.
And we do try to transform that a little bit over time.
I was
because
gonna ask.
We want people to be listening a little sooner and a little earlier before the problems really happen.
Yeah.
And you can do that. You can definitely do that. Just get there a little bit sooner. Or at least, you know. For instance, if I have a bit of a temper, and if I pay attention, I'm like, oh, that made me angry. And then in the future, I can say, I can be aware of that and say, oh, this could make me angry. I'm going to be aware, and I'm going to try and just be more aware so that my temper doesn't come out, right? And you can change the way you are. Well, it's the same thing with the body. You're just listening to the body more regularly. So you're just paying attention to it more. It really deserves it. You know, there's all this information now about the brain that is in our guts. Have you been hearing?
Mm-hmm.
You know yeah. about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you spend time in this area, it is so profound. It's the home of creativity. It's the home to your intuition. And so when you spend a little bit more time down in your gut area, just paying attention, things start coming up out of your body, and it will tell you a little sooner. It's like you've created a link to yourself from your body, and that link becomes more alive, and it starts telling you earlier, oh, that's beginning to hurt a little bit, and you might have not paid attention before, but now you begin to. You begin to say, oh, that's not quite right.
It pulls you out of the world of oblivion. You're either oblivious of what's going on, or you intentionally do something to cut the sensation. I need an Advil. I'm not feeling good. I need, you know, this, that. I need food. I'm feeling kind of like weird. I need to eat some. So it pulls you out of that oblivion or that denial that there is something. So we take people through the stages of it. So that's why body sensing is what starts the whole thing. And it doesn't have to go to drastic. It's just, is there something that's uncomfortable?
Yeah,
use that as a trigger. It's just past like
That's so interesting, because I just started reading, Stephen Hayes has a new book on ACT therapy, it's acceptance and commitment therapy. Blanking on the name of the book. But he talks a lot about like rigid psychological responses to negative sensations and emotions. Yeah. But you know, his perspective is all psychological.
Yeah.
And like you are hacking the system. Yeah. where the psychology arises from.
Right.
It all arises from physical sensation.
Yes.
And I, that's what, there's all kinds of therapy now that is about just listening to the physical sensations in your body. So there's other stuff that I do as well, focusing and somatic healing and all these different systems that really have you just paying attention to your body, to the point where if you have a pain or something, if you just listen to it long enough, it will often dissipate because it just needs your attention. It needs to know that you are there. And it really is profound. And so, yes, that's very much a part of what we're bringing in. We call it backdoor enlightenment. So we're bringing it in through walking and running, but we're really trying to get them open up to other ideas as well. Yeah. And then we do have the thing that I like is that we have walking, and then we have this walk run program that I mentioned to you, and then we have a running program. And so it really can take people from walking. The walk run, I just particularly love. It's a great program.
Can you describe it?
Yeah, so it's qi running and qi walking are extremely similar. So qi walking, and you can start with qi running, but they have the same foundation. There's just a few little differences between them. So when you learn qi walking, for instance, people will come to a qi walking class, and I am telling you, half of the people after even a one-day class will say, I think I could run. And I'll say to them, yeah, it's just so easy from here. It's such an easy next step. So then you can go into a walk-run program. And our walk-run program is you walk as much as you need to and you run as much as you need to. There is no set like 2 minutes or 3 minutes. You just do what your body, you really tap into your body. And then we teach you the transition between the two. And so when you do qi running and qi walking, you're just getting this whole body support.
Mm-hmm.
And as this ultra marathoner that we were just talking to said, ultra marathon runners are walking a lot. It's okay.
Yeah.
Trail Runner just had an article about that, about how walking makes you a trail runner. If you, mm-hmm. And so they're walking a lot. And so this whole thing about learning how to walk well, because I've seen walk run programs where people are running and then they fall into the worst kind of walking that's harmful. We actually believe the transition is where you can cause more harm and damage. Mm. Stopping and starting your run.
Yeah, for me, walking just psychologically feels like, okay, now I get to stop doing everything and just, it's like self-indulgence.
Exactly.
It's the equivalent of like eating 12 Snickers bars. It's like, I just want it to feel not bad for a minute, as opposed to walking to for health or regeneration.
Or if you were to running along and say you needed a rest, say you're in the middle of an ultra, and you're walking along, so you drop into a walk, but you don't check out. So you don't all of a sudden just go asleep. You know, you're using all these focuses when you're running that keep you efficient, keep you relaxed, keep you moving right. Why would you just click the switch off and go blank? You know, until you feel ready to run again. And so the whole idea is you're just dropping the speed down to rest your body, but not the intention. And you're keeping your mind sharp. And, you know, you're not checking out just because you're walking. You're still, like, there, you know. And
Danny, when he comes back from his races, he will have been working his mind and his technique the entire time still. Yeah. I mean, that is what he does. That's how he is successful in his events, because he's paying attention. Now, you get to slip into oblivion sometimes. It's not like you can't, you know, you don't have to be like on this every second or anything.
No.
But you do want to learn to just be checking in more. Mm. And
it's like meditation.
Yeah.
Like I remember when I started doing it. So this is my recollection. Like there were 7 things I had to pay attention to. Like cycle through them.
It's already too many.
That's way too many.
Oh, you've
meditating. Well, we meditate a lot. Uh-huh.
But I meant like there was like the fingers, the elbow, the chest up, the feather here, all the different things, needle and cotton, the lean, and I would do that for like 2 minutes, and then like 40 minutes later, I'd be, oh, I remember, I was supposed to do that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, which is fine. It's okay. The only thing is that you come back at some point. And so what happens is you lose it for a while. Maybe you do get an injury. Maybe you get a little bit of pain. Oh, it's a reminder. I do have some tools. Mm. You know, it's sort of like the way I gave up gluten. Like I really wasn't doing well. So I would give it up over a certain period of time. And then I would eat it the rest of the year. And then over time, over years, I realized I feel so much better when I'm off it.
Mm.
So now I'm just going to be off of it. It just, so it can take, it can take a little time.
Okay.
Yeah, it's allowed.
So can we talk for a few minutes about like what are the foundations of chi walking, chi running? So I know people should, go to the website. The website is chirunning.com. Mm-hmm.
CHI, yeah.
CHI, running. And you got the chi running, chi walking, chi marathon. So people definitely should like check out the resources.
Shoes it fits.
Right. But for just a teaser, like what mm-hmm. are the principles that people should be thinking about as they walk and run?
Okay, so there's always, Catherine mentioned it, there's always two big things that everybody who wants to do exercise needs to be thinking about, and that's alignment and relaxation. Alignment, relaxation. And alignment isn't just postural alignment. If you're moving, it's alignment with the direction you're headed. So it informs how you move your body. Alignment, relaxation. And they're not alignment or relaxation. They have to be combined. It's like in Tai Chi, there's yin and there's yang. Yin is this very gathering force. Yang is this very expansive force. When one gets bigger, one gets smaller. When this comes out, this goes small. They interact always. And so alignment and relaxation are bottom line principles. You have to be aligned with where you're headed, because if you're not, your arms are swinging this way and you're headed that way. That's inefficient.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're getting to, is inefficiency. So aligning your body with where you're going and how you're doing it, how it's moving, but also postural alignment so that you're always cooperating with the pull of gravity. So gravity, whenever you stand or walk or anything, gravity is always pulling down on your structure. How do you align your structure to use the least amount of muscles? Efficiency again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we were huge proponents of posture and huge proponents of learning how to relax. And so it's really, you mentioned that term needle and cotton. So there's one of the principles that right. we've kind of like written all of our material around. And the needle is your alignment, your postural alignment. It's just like a needle comes right down through my body. Every time my foot supports my whole body weight, my needle is supporting my body weight. I want to keep that needle as straight as I can during that moment when I'm on that leg. Okay. Relaxation is the moving parts. So the needle is the support. The relaxation is everything that needs to move. Arms, shoulders, it's hips, relaxed. Legs, feet, ankles. So that has to be as relaxed as possible. And the yin needs to be as yin as possible. And the more yin you get, the more relaxed you can be. You know, it's a cool thing.
So if the muscles are tight, if you're overworking your muscles, you're actually inhibiting your movement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually slowing down your movement. But if they're really relaxed, then they move fluidly and with ease. So the strength is in one place and the relaxation is so crucial to it. And it feels really good. It's not easy to learn how to relax, but it feels great when you get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do a martial art called Sistema. It's a Russian form. And we do a lot of striking. And so one of the metaphors is like, imagine a hammer. And you just is totally relaxed. You have a lot of power, but the more
there we go.
The more you try to control it, the less power
Same with golf, right? Same with a golf swing. You've got to get
grip the
movement.
Grip the club too much, you're not going to hit.
It's all about the fluidity of movement, you know, in golf. If you're really stiff, your swing is going to be... Well, that's true with your legs. So in qi running and qi walking, this sounds really strange, but you're using your legs as little as possible. They are literally there just to connect you to the earth. So you're not using your legs to push off or propel forward or anything. You're using gravity and relaxation, and you're just falling gently. Mm-hmm. So it's really, it's a completely different paradigm. And so that's the foundation. And how we get you there is we teach you good posture, and then we teach you how to move your arms and legs and your head and your shoulders. Like, that's what we're doing, is we're teaching you where everything should be. And then your arms and legs, it's really cool when you get an experience of it, they follow your core. They do. When they're attached to your core, so having core strength means that your legs are attached to your torso. And when you're not using your core strength, your legs are separate from your body. So it's sort of a whole body experience.
Mm.
And then your arms, it's amazing. I mean, we're playing with this stuff all the time. And so Danny has been working so much on arm swing. And now, I mean, we can't even tell you how important arm swing is and how much easier arm swing. When you use your arms more, your whole body gets to work less. So it's really, really cool when your whole body is working as a whole. So that's another principle, is that we're getting the body to work as a unit.
Yeah, and the interesting part about that unit is that I always tell my classes that the body is set up in a very Marxist way, from each according to its ability, right? Okay, and so you look at, just look at how the body is constructed. All the biggest, strongest muscles are in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest bones, everything is in the middle. As you get more distal, further away from the center, all the parts get smaller. All the muscles get smaller. All the bones get smaller.
Hmm.
The problem with runners is that they, where do most running injuries happen? From the knees on down. Runner's knee, iliotibial band, you know, Achilles
shin
tendon
splints.
Pulls, shin splints, calf
plantar.
Pulls, plantar fasciitis, metatarsal stress fractures, Morton's neuroma, I mean...
Oh, I got that one.
Yeah, and so they all happen from here down. So if the body is built to where all the work happens here and less work happens as you get further from your center, why are people putting so much attention on all those lower body parts and pushing with their toes and reaching with their knees and, you know...
It's hurting them.
It's overuse. Huh. And so when you really set up the body and follow the law of how the body works, of, yeah, big work, less work, less work, tiny work, almost no work.
Mm-hmm.
So
we call it limp lower legs. In qi running and qi walking, your legs are, lower legs are as limp as possible and still holding you up. So it's all relaxation in your legs. And if you look at the Kenyans who are running every event, the people who are running the really fast marathons, they are so relaxed. Their the beauty is in their relaxation.
Yeah.
I mean, they hardly look like they're working.
I know. I see. We go on the tobacco trail and we see like a group of like, you know, elite runners, whether high school or college. And they look, you know, from a distance, you can't exactly tell how fast they're going, but they seem like, oh, I could run with them. And then they blow past me. Right? Like I'm mapping my own facial expressions onto that speed. Like G-forces would be, like, distorting my cheeks.
Yeah,
it looks and then when you watch, like, the, you know, TV, like an Olympic 10,000 meter or something, it's like, oh, they're just jogging. They're just having a good time.
And they're flying.
It's like Eliud Kipchoge when he ran a sub 2 hour. Yeah, he had a lot of help and arrangement and stuff, but that guy was 425 miles for a 26. How do you do that? Okay. It's like you have
so
to be
incredible.
You have to be really, really relaxed.
Relaxation is the key.
And when
that
he
makes
finished
you energy
that,
efficient.
When he finished that world record, he wasn't like,
you know,
it was like, no.
Beating his chest, hugging people.
Yeah, it was like,
well,
yes,
I
got to
give Danny that same credit. He would do these ultra marathons, and he would come back, and he would cook dinner, and he would be, seriously, I'm not kidding. He would just be so at ease in his body. He would not have much pain. He would talk about his recovery, maybe a tiny bit, maybe a blister or something. But, I mean, and he's going to be 70 in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, you know, he...
Yeah, I was going to guess 48, 50.
Bless you.
Yeah. So, but he has been that way. Really, honestly, he'll come back from an ultra marathon and be sort of like, okay.
Like me, huh? She had to come drive me because I...
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So if we need more help than books and videos and apps, how do we find a Qi running instructor who can help us?
Yeah, so on our website, you go to qirunning.com and you click on, there's a menu at the top, and you click on find an instructor or find a workshop. So there's two places. Our workshops, our instructors promote their workshops in our find a workshop. But if you want to work one-on-one, you just click on find an instructor. And there's some in Chapel Hill. They're all over the country. They're all over the world. I think we have people in 25 countries. Yeah. But there are also a lot of times in places where there aren't people. And so Danny's been really successfully doing virtual coaching, really successfully. So you take a video of yourself and you come online on Zoom with him, and he will tell you what you need to work on, and then you go and you work on it, and you come back, and he'll give you the next round of training. So been great. As a matter of fact, we're doing our Qi walking instructor training completely virtually this time, which is pretty cool. And we just had a class yesterday. Mm-hmm. It was very successful. So we do online video coaching, basically, and people can get it, you know? But so we have instructors, we have
a lot of these. And then the other thing we developed over the last few years is called the Qi Running School. And the reason how it's set up is that you get delivered a lesson in your inbox once a week. So it's virtual, still virtual. Mm-hmm. You get it once a week, and that lesson is a video. So you can watch what you're supposed to be doing, and then there's an audio download you can listen to. You practice, watch the video, and then you go out on a run. You go, here's what I'm doing. And the way we set it up, though, is we were seeing how people... would leave a workshop or leave a personal session. They go, oh my God, there's like 30 things I got to remember. It's just like your experience, you know? Yeah. How in the world do I remember all of that? So what we've done is just divide up Qi running into little tiny increments, just little pieces. So one lesson might be just how to swing your arms. One lesson might be how to land softly or how to swing your hips or whatever. And so we've listed them chronologically in a sequence where you just take one lesson a week, and that's all you focus on for a week, one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that starts those neurotransmitters working, because you're repeating the same activity and turning the on switch on enough times that by the end of a week, you've done it all week, and it starts to take root in your system. So talk about building habits, you know, good habits. And then you get a new lesson, and then you do the same thing. So it's been really successful for people learning it, you know.
Yeah, so the Qi Running School has been really helpful. And the other thing about that, well, the audio downloads make such a huge difference for people. But the thing that is I wanted to say is that anything we teach, and we wrote this in the book, will help you. So just practicing good posture is going to make a big... There isn't anything we teach that is going to hurt you in any way. So everything
we teach...
You can't
overdo it.
Everything we teach, you're going to gain benefit from it. So you practice good posture, you're getting better posture. So it's all like, so you get a little experience of the goodness. And that's the good thing, is that we don't feel like we are giving anything to people that it's going to hurt them.
So I want to become an instructor. So,
oh, good.
So
right.
I'm
going to
ask a question. I'm just going to ask a question for other, like, how do you become an instructor?
Mm-hmm. April. So I'm starting out.
February
is the first start of February. So to become an instructor, you contact us. And our instructor training program is very thorough, extremely thorough. So there's a 3-month home study program before you even come to work with us. So you study the materials that we call the owner's manual. It's the instructor's manual, where you study all the lessons and exactly how they look. And there's videos that go with it.
So and we meet on Zoom.
We have Zoom meetings. And then you come after 3 months is over, you come to a four-day intensive where we teach you how to be a really good teacher. You should know the material by then, mm-hmm. but we'll show you how to really use it, how to observe people, how to be a good teacher.
Next one is in Asheville.
And then you go awesome. From there into doing your... And the whole time you're doing homework on any friend that'll get you, you can get to work with you. And then after that, you do practice teaching and you teach with some instructors and then you turn you loose. But it's it's a good...
We just had a training here in Asheville and 12 people. Ago. I mean, we do them all over the world. We were in Germany last summer and we have instructors. We have so many master instructors now. So our instructors have levels. Your certified instructor, senior, or master instructor, and our master instructors can teach other instructors. So if you can't make it to a class, you can always work with a master instructor as well. But the classes are so good, and everybody loves them, and they become a very close team.
Yeah.
It's okay. really a one so, wonderful experience.
So people just go to chirunning.com, and they contact you and find out.
Become an instructor.
There's a Become an Instructor on these drop-down menus. Become an instructor.
Cool.
And we hope you'll join us.
That would be wonderful.
I would love to.
That would be so cool. So
yeah. It feels like, the equivalent of learning how to change my oil.
it's that necessary.
Yeah. Except it goes, no one else is going to check my body for me if I don't.
Right. Exactly. So,
that's well put.
So, Catherine and Danny Dreyer, thank you so much. This was a huge treat.
Yeah.
Oh, so nice to have you. Really grateful you came up.
Yeah. You guys get to hang out in Nashville for a day.
This should not have been done over the phone.
No.
I'm glad you guys came out. It was really nice to be able to have you here.
Yeah, I'm just so glad to meet you.
Likewise.
And I love what you're doing. It's good work.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, we'll wrap it up. Thank you for listening. I hope you really got a lot out of this episode. There's a lot of visuals involved. We tried to do a video recording. I didn't bring my big camera set up with lights and everything because we were trying to travel light. I did grab a GoPro that was not up to the task, so you're not going to see a video of this. But this brings me to, if you'd like to become a patron of the show and help finance better production values, better promotion to spread the word, the ability to reach guests that otherwise are a little bit out of my pay grade right now, you can become a patron of the show. And you can do so at patreon.com. Just search for Plant Yourself or just go to Plant Yourself and look for the support us on Patreon button on the right sidebar. I would love to have a compact video setup that I can travel with, take anywhere, and really incorporate much more video into the show. There's a lot of stuff that really is video only. Like I have an episode coming up with Kim Campbell, who is the chef and culinary force behind Plant Pure, Plant Pure Nation, Plant Pure Foods. And we did a cooking video in the kitchen. And honestly, if you just listen to it, you're not going to get a ton out of it. But watching is where it's all at. So if you'd like to help me turn Plant Yourself into a media empire, you can do so by making an ongoing monthly contribution. Or if you just, want to shoot me a wad of cash, that's fine too. What else do we want to talk about? If you want to review the podcast, let's say you don't have so much money, but you have a little bit of time, like 30 seconds, and you've gotten something out of this show, let me try to guilt you into giving something back by going to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts and leaving a review. Give us some stars, tell us why you listen, and that'll help other people find the show as well. What else? Next few weeks, I've got Kim Campbell, I mentioned. Also, Karen Smith, Brittany Sade, Margot Freitag, and Ron Tibbs. If you don't know them, you're not likely to hear them on any other podcasts. One of my superpowers is finding people who will be the next big thing before they become the next big thing. And some of these names are big things already in our own little world of plant-based health.
And you will be hearing from them a lot more, but you heard them here first. So in garden news, we are covering the greens now with cloth to try to keep out whatever is eating them. And I've got an assignment to try to put together some cold frames. We're expecting a cold snap in the high 20s this weekend or on Monday. So we're going to try to protect the little fellas and gals any way we can that way. In running news, this has been all about running, and I've already spilled the beans on how much better I'm running and how much happier I am about my form and about meditating. This coming weekend, I'm playing in the Old Man Ultimate Nationals or Worlds or World Championships, whatever they are. It's called the Saratoga Sunset down in Saratoga, Florida. If you're in that area and you want to come say hi, I think it's at the, not the polo grounds, but the soccer grounds, somewhere. Hit me up, hjplantyourself.com, if you want to come visit. Bring me some fruit and water and Larabars and bask in the beautiful weather and watch old men play ultimate frisbee. It'll be a hoot. All right, thanks to Will Ridenour for allowing me to use his beautiful song Sabali Dawn, the Dance of Peace, as the theme music for this show. Check out Will Ridenour, RIDENOUR.com, for more. And of course, thanks to all of you Plant Yourself podcast patrons: Kim Harrison, Lynn McClellan, Anthony Disson, Brittany Porter, Dominic Mara, Barbara Whitney, Tammy Black, Amy Good, Amanda Hathaway, Mary Jean Wheeler, Ellen Kennelly, Melissa Cobb, Rachel Burns, Christine Nielsen, Tina Sharf, Dina Ahern, Jennifer Kanowski, David Vizek, The Mysterious, Michelle X, Elspeth Feldman, Victoria Dolomanovas, Leah Stoller, Alan Christensen, Colleen Peck, Michelle Andrew, Josina, Julian Rowland, Sue Dolnick, Sarah Durkis, Ronza Circus, Kelly Cameron, Wayne Patterson, Leanne Peterson, Janet Selby, Claire Adams, Tom Franzik, Janet Benham, Gail Sayer, David Donahue, Blair Seibert, The Rona Visa of Gio and Carolyn Argentati, Jody Friesner, Ruth Ann Vandenberg, Misha Rosen, Michael Warbeck, Lee, Equally Mysterious, Tracy Z, Alicia Lemus, Rebecca Hughes, Val Linneman, Rhymes with Cinnamon, Nick Carver, Stephanie Holmes, Martha Berger, Nicole Ramsey, Susan Ahmad, Molly Levine, Inscrutable Harry R, Susan Laverty, The Panda Vegan, Craig Kovic, Adam Sharp, Karen Berry, Heather Morgan, Ashley Corcoran, Kelly Machia, Deanne Norton, Donnie Lynch, Plant Happy Organ, Sabina Kurtzels, Nigel Davies, Marion Blum, Teresa Coble, Joe Rulis, Jillian Watkins, Brad O'Connell, Brian Sheridan, Chandler Hirschman, Kate Roll. Kate Rolls. Linda Ayat, Julie Langholm, Hedegaard, Iza Tuzin, Wakani, Hainline, Aaron Greer, Alicia Davis, Aviva L, Heather O'Connor, Carolyn Jensen, Sherry O'Lakoski of Plant Howard for Health, Karen Smith, Gotten Rani, Karen, Joe Crabtree, Tanya Lewis, Kirby Burton, Teresa Carell, Kevin McCauley, Elizabeth Rothschild, Kelly Bacon, Miracle, and Jesse Chael, Dwyer, Jenny Heslin, Valerie Peltier, Peter W. Evans, Colleen Harrison, Justine Divitt, Joshua Sommermeyer, Dennis Bird, Darby Kelly, Laurie Fanny, Linnea Lundquist, Valerie Hummel, Deb Casilla, Emily Iaconelli, Libby Wallach, Rosamund McAtee, Dan McCorney, Stephen Leenan, Patty DiMartino, Mike Anata Karts, Ian Bishop, Bill Burielf, Gunter Schmidt, Marjorie Lewis, Kelly Moulton, Trisha Adams, Ian Kramer, Nancy Sheldon, Lindsay Bayshore, Gummery Hagen, Tracy Gullis, Laura Heaton, Meg Vermama Says, Rachel Kennedy, Joan Borston, Diana Goldman. And for the last few, nice and slow, Stacy Stokes, Ben Savage, Michael Kay, Holly Butler, David Hughes, Connie Rogers, and Claire England for your generous support of the podcast. That's it for this week. As always, be well, my friends.